I won't apologize for it, but I do know I'm not the kind of pulpiteer, you know, lectern banger that... So if you feel like you're falling asleep, feel free to stand up and do a few jumping jacks, and I will try to keep it interesting, and we can ask the Lord to make it us all riveted. So let's jump in. Lord, we thank you that your words, your ways, what it means that we are to serve others in wise love, it is going to take 200 or more different forms, because there's 200 or more different ones of us here. You talk in a lot of tones of voice. You talk in every personality type. You use every background, every kind of person and history, and you do not waste anything. And we thank you that it is one of the beauties of the gospel. Not only is it for every nation, tribe, tongue, and people at a big level, it is for every person, and that you manage to express the individuality and the personality and the immediacy and color and vividness of your ways with us by working in each of us, using each one of us in different ways. And we are each going to have a certain kinds of people we do better with and others we have more of a problem with, and we can keep growing. And we ask you to use our time this afternoon to be a time when we can keep growing. Would you meet us and strengthen us and help us? And I know my brothers and sisters are weary, and I pray that you will give sustaining strength, you'll give grace, that the thoughts of our hearts, the words of our mouth, our meditations, that who we are would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Bless you. Amen. This afternoon session, is, as I said, is going to be a kind of continuation thematically with this morning, where we're looking at how Scripture tracks. This morning, obviously, we looked at what you might call this, it's at one level, this intricate, complex weave, where every church, every individual is different. But when Jesus Christ looks at people, he sees these four different things, sort of who he is and what our strengths and good parts are, and what our sins and failings are, and what our hardships, as well as blessings, are. And he somehow manages to weave all those things into something that is a unique picture, part of his tapestry. And we get the privilege of seeking to learn to think a little bit more comprehensively and flexibly the way he thinks, comprehensively, flexibly, within theme. So it's not chaos. It's not anything goes. It's not just a million Lego pieces. There's actually a pattern to how they're put together. There's only four colors of Legos, however, if we were to use that picture. And then I've called this afternoon session finding that one verse that makes the difference. Again, a session where we're looking at how Scripture works. And this, one of these things that you realize is, well, it's like learning Hebrew. It's like, it seems so easy on the surface, and then the more you climb into it, it ain't so easy. There's a lot of intricacies lurking. Among those, for example, are these. You know, as we're now in the I lied to you part of developing you as biblical counselors, think about this fact. Nobody tells you what passage to go to. That's sobering. So how do you even imagine that what you're going to think of might be in the ballpark? It raises a lot of questions that way. Or think about this. Those of you who have gone to seminary, those of you who are preachers, or those of you who do Bible teaching and have thought a bit about hermeneutics and exegesis, one of the core principles in any kind of Bible exposition is context. And looking at a passage in its context, thinking through original meaning, authorial intent, what was the audience, what were they facing, what were their challenges. You can't do that in counseling. People who struggle usually need and can handle one thing. One verse, usually. I mean, maybe two, or maybe a short psalm. You give a person something more than that. You give them a lecture on biblical theology and the history of doctrine and the way that it all fits, and you've lost them. people, when you think about what people live off of in terms of daily bread, what you live off of, what I live off, usually it's a snippet. It's some one thing. Now, some one thing needs to fit in a wider diet. You might say there's an expositional coherence that's got to be in the background. But at the end of the day, a simple person needs to hang on to one thing, one image, hang on to one promise, one particular, because human beings are just not that complicated. And this is one of those places where I think one of the unmined areas in the development of, or relatively unmined, in other words, there's a lot of ore still on the ground, is actually looking at the Gospels and at the way Jesus does personal ministry. Because Jesus, for every, what you might call it, preaching moment, there's probably at least five that are conversational. He is continually engaging conversationally. And he has this way of searching out the heart, of communicating vividly and graphically and relevantly, and it is, you can get it. It's not an extended unpacking of all the background and the exegesis of the passages he quotes or alludes to from the Old Testament. He manages to drive it home in the moment with a person who's asked a question, or he's asking them a question, and brings it to life. So what I want us to do is think together about just some, and this is not exhaustive, we've got small space, big topic, just a few principles that you can let rattle around that are part of what it means to, when we think about what a life-changing verse looks like. What's going on in a life-changing passage? And think our way through that. And I'm just going to give, maybe a half dozen principles that can be helpful as we think about what makes Scripture, a bit of Scripture, explode to life in a lot of complicated life and makes that happen. My first principle is this. Translate the Bible for people. Help people get out of the Bible talk, you know, the way that the Bible phrases it or the language that might be unfamiliar to them. Translate it. Put it into straightforward English. Let it live on the ground. Jesus does this all the time. He takes something biblical, quotes something or alludes to something in the Old Testament, and then he runs it straight into something that people can get their hands on. It's very tangible. I'll just give you a handful of examples. I've picked several from the 103rd Psalm. For example, you know, it's bless the Lord, O my soul. This is verse, second part of verse 2. And forget not all his benefits. Now, I don't know about you, but forget not all his benefits doesn't really set my life on fire. Nobody talks like that, for starters. And benefits are things that are like attached to salary. You know, you get salary and benefits. And so is this like, forget not all his benefits. I mean, literally what that's saying, the word that we translate, even our word benefit, literally means a good thing someone does. Benefact, good done, good doing. So let's put that into English. Don't forget any of the good things he does. And you notice one thing, you notice how all his benefits keeps it, it's all, it's every, it's up in space in a way. But any makes you stop and think, what are some of the good things he does for you? And don't forget is a lot more grabby than forget not. So we've just done a simple translation. We've just translated it into how people actually talk and think. We've made it grabby for people. And then you can actually go in there and you look at what some of these good things he has done. And that the whole purpose of this psalm is to make you remember. Don't forget. Remember all the good things he's done. That's putting the same verse positively. So we've done a double translation out of forget not. Don't forget, remember. And let's look at what we want you to remember. We want you to remember that he forgives all your iniquity. All. Let's take that all and turns it into the any and the some and the particular one. Where do you struggle? Where are the iniquities where you feel like God could never forgive that? I'm class B citizen in the kingdom. God, you know, everybody else he's going to welcome, and me he's going to go, oh, you know. We've got, you will counsel people. You may struggle with it yourself.